How are we going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we broadcast in the entire tri-state area of southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And you can listen to us on the internet from anywhere in the USA simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Now, if you have Alexa in the house, you can also say, Alexa, 860 AM radio. If you receive our email this morning, contact a family member or friend and let them know that we're on. And of course, later on today, we will send a copy of the broadcast out to you, and we'll ask that you send it out to family and friends. I just want to let you know that we will have a guest today, a very, very special guest, and I'll be talking about her during today's broadcast. And it's a person of great knowledge, and of course, I'll let you know in a few minutes. First of all, my thanks to Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, the national small business advocate for our station, and also a long-term participant of SCORE, and also Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I am Michael Blihash, and I have greetings to you and yours from Curtis Ellis, wishing you the very best as he continues to work on the America First project. Now, the world is really going through hell at this point. We're suffering through a once-in-a-century pandemic that originated in China, and because it was not properly reported by the Chinese Communist government, it has caused havoc, and I mean havoc, in the entire world and, of course, throughout the United States of America. And every one of us wants the coronavirus pandemic resolved because it's killing people and it's also killing businesses, which we need to keep people employed so they're able to support themselves. At this point, every sector of America's economy has been badly hurt by the coronavirus, and that's everybody from restaurants, hotels, travel, repair services, tourist industry, and hundreds of others have all been hurt very badly. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. But today, I'm really pleased to have someone here with me that I've had the proud opportunity to work with for over 29 years. Her name is Barbara Ilnitsky. You know, I often mention her to tune in on Thursdays, but Barbara is the daily language host here on 860 AM, and she's been part of our network for 29 plus years. And I want to tell you, you'll enjoy talking with Barbara and hearing about her many, many experiences. And of course, she'll want all of the panel members to speak up, ask her any question you like. Barbara is a graduate of criminal law in Gdynia, Poland. She immigrated to America, and she married Walter Ilnitsky and has a daughter, Kasia, and a son-in-law, Chris, and a grandson, Oliver. And boy, oh boy, Barbara is a lady who is not afraid to speak her mind, and that's what I really always enjoyed working with Barbara. And Barbara is no stranger to the microphone, let's put it that way. When you're running a broadcast that many days a week, Barbara is a positive force in the Polish American community and respected by the Polish language listeners here on 860, and we have an enormously large internet following from all over the USA, and also some people that tune into rebroadcasts from Poland on the internet. The internet has really made us one big happy family. Barbara is very respectful of our efforts for the Made in America movement, and of course, I'm sure that all of you would like to ask Barbara some questions. Barbara, say hello.
Michael, thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be with you on your program, which you built from the scratch.
Right. We started from scratch. And Barbara remembers we've done translations of our weekly commentaries, and Barbara is a promoter. And I want to thank all of our Polish language listeners who are here with us daily, because this is what it's all about. We support one another and do our best. You know, the world is a changing place, and if we don't have some people that are normal, Barbara's well-educated, she knows how to address issues, having a law background, seeing, and Barbara, I have to tell you, she mm-hmm. has traveled several times to China.
Yes,
and
that's true.
I would like to bring that into the situation. And Barbara can tell you, going over to China and touring China and seeing all those beautiful American corporate names on the top of the buildings, isn't that wonderful? We don't have them in America, but they're all over China.
Oh, yes.
So, Basha, tell us a little bit about your visit to China.
First of all, I visited China three times in 2000, 2002, and 2017. It just happened that, you know, I am fond of the old culture of China and that region of the world. And talking about China, when I first went in year 2000, that was really rural China. I would describe this. That was a few neons in Shanghai and Beijing or Peking, how we call it, and other places, but not that visible. Americans were present there and European. But 2002 was not that much different. You see the infrastructure went from poor to better. But after visiting China 15 years later, that's in 2017, that's like China in many fields is much more advanced than United States. And of course, the numbers of the companies, which are American companies, it's incredible. The amount of the firms which moved to China is unbelievable. And you know, maybe I'll start with the comparison of one thing. We visited the Forbidden City in the year 2000, and you could see very few foreigners. That's in Peking, the old palace of rulers, and very few Chinese. When we visit in 2017, that was lava of people going through that same historical object. It was very unpleasant experience because it was so crowded. Why I'm saying about Forbidden City? The reason is the Chinese have the money to travel. 4 million people is a middle class in China right now, and they spend the money for travel. And we can condemn the communists, we all do. I grew up in communism, but we have to say it that they do something right, because that is incredible. When they were building a hotel in Beijing in 2000, in year 2000, the workers were sitting on the level which they built already. They were sleeping and bathing and eating there. The workers stayed there. 2017, I haven't seen so much of heavy equipment all over. First, when we came to China, we didn't hear any sound of heavy equipment. I'm talking about building equipment. Now, It's incredible. I haven't seen such an amount of heavy equipment, building equipment, and they building, they building their roads, their railroads, the also the houses, the house, it's high rises, but a majority all over. I mean it, it's no one small ground which is not covered with the high rises. So, and by the way, now you have more. When I was in 2000, was mainly they travel Chinese by bikes. Now, you can barely see bikes in a city, barely.
Well, Barbara, what you're saying is it means a lot when the leadership of the country, whether it's communism or not, keeps their eye on the ball.
Yes,
and
that's
that did
true.
Not happen in America. As our businesses closed, and as I speak with some American business people, they say, you know, Michael, it didn't happen in just 2, 3, or 4 years.
No,
this has been happening
a long time.
15 years, we took 10 brands, A to C, and then we took the next 10 and we moved them here and there. And China was the best price, no problems. We had no import taxes, no tariffs, no nothing. Mm-hmm. So made China the best. But the biggest problem that we have not addressed for many years is the fact that we've been overwhelmed with these foreign products while our Americans are pushed to unemployment, pushed to welfare type programs, and we're still not taking it seriously that we have to do something about it.
But Michael, that started, going back, we're not going to talk about China, but you have very good point. Why America doesn't have the qualified workforce, which many people complain that they don't have the people. It's not the worker today has to know, have a knowledge of computers, has the knowledge of something else. We are at fault. Americans are at fault because we stop educating our people on a level of being a plumber, being
from A to Z.
From A to Z. We don't have, I'm not talking about people who have a business generation after generation, but we didn't educate the people properly.
You're right.
We should put more emphasis on the workforce, which supposed to be, go with the flow with the new technology.
Basha, I want you to know, guys, that Barbara represents many of our Polish American listeners who feel and understand as she does when they come to America to live. Some came 30 years ago. Things were much better. There were more businesses here in the USA. And many of those same people watch those businesses move out of America, move all around the world. But no one in our national leadership spoke up
didn't
about it.
Absolutely.
Basha, I'm going to turn you over to Rich Logis. Rich, welcome, Basha. You remember she was
Hi, Rich.
For the American Made movie. And also,
I do.
And we had a good time at the reception with Mark and Larkin and Henry and the whole gang.
Hi, Rich.
Chess, Basha.
Oh, Chess. I'm sorry.
Dzień dobry.
Dzień dobry.
That's okay. That's all I know. That and Pivo. And will we get fined if I curse in Polish, Michael, on air?
No,
you can do it because in English they would fine us.
Because now, Michael, you better be. Hope you're right, because in about 5 seconds, if you're wrong, you're getting a fine. Because I have a shirt that I actually wore to Philadelphia last time, and the devil on one shoulder kept telling me to do it, but the angel on the other side said don't. So I listened to the angel, and I have this shirt that says, "Have a nice day." So people would ask me, what exactly does that mean? And I said, well,
don't translate.
You really want to know what that means? And And me and my wife are in the process of moving, and I've been donating lots of clothes, but I found that shirt, and I said, that shirt's coming with me. Mm-hmm. That shirt's going, like the Egyptians used to be buried with their gold and treasures,
yes,
thinking they took them to the afterlife. That shirt's coming with me to the afterlife, wherever that exactly may be.
Or with 5,000 army of terracotta. They were buried with the rulers of China.
It's coming with me, and I have had a chance to visit Poland a handful of times with my wife, who is from Poland, and my introduction to everyone in the center came via, actually, the funniest part of the story is it came from a wrong turn. I turned onto Walnut Street, right, Michael? That's where the Polish Center is, Walnut Street.
Yeah, and what a wrong turn that was. What a wrong turn that was, bro.
I
didn't see the sign I had hanging out. Rich, don't come here.
When I made that wrong turn and I just saw a big sign outside that says, now serving kielbasa and pierogi, I said to my wife, let's get a parking spot. Let's go in. And that's how, that was 8 years ago. Yes, 8 years ago, I had to do my math. So it's been a great, meeting everyone and my compliments on being able to keep the center open. I want to just address your point about the skilled workforce. And this is where I'll get a little bit political.
Mm-hmm.
But I always say that, and a lot of times, Basha, what we say bipartisan, it has somewhat of a positive connotation, but bipartisan can also mean that both sides were wrong.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree 100%.
And I agree. And if I had to pick an issue where we have had a spectacular bipartisan failure, it would be on immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And for different, perhaps for somewhat different reasons, but it has been a decades long bipartisan failure that we have not had any kind of substantive resolution and remedy to our both our illegal immigration issue as well as what I just basically call the global international giveaway to legal immigrants who come here, who have taken jobs that I find it very hard to believe there aren't at least some Americans qualified to take. And I do want to remind everyone, just as a last note here, that for the last 4 years, we've heard the term foreign collusion a lot. And I do want to remind people that at many of our big tech companies, the people who are designing the algorithms that suppress content are actually not from the United States. They're from other countries. So you have people who are not even able, Basha, to vote in our elections, but yet have been tasked and are paid for by these companies in order to suppress. Now, there's nothing they're doing that, they're doing a job, right? That's what they're paid to do. There's some debate nationally about whether some of these companies are engaging in illegal or criminal activity, and I don't really know because I'm not an attorney somewhat, and I'd have to you have to let the process run itself out. But I do remind everyone that many of the people at these companies are not actually from America. They're not able to vote in our elections, but clearly the foreign workers have had quite an influence and an impact on our national political discourse. So that's just a foreign collusion nugget for everyone to chew on for today.
Oh, there is a lot of, in my opinion, collusion. Absolutely, I agree with you. Legal immigration, you have to separate legal immigration from illegal immigration. I am for, if we don't have people in a certain fields, we should allow them to immigrate seasonally to United States with the permission to work. And after, half a year or whatever, they go back. End of the story. But you know, I'm talking from the point of view of immigrant, and I think I'm not talking about illegal immigration. You have to differentiate the two things. That America always was enriched by people coming from different parts of the world. I am not talking about the illegal immigrants. I am immigrant myself, as you hear. And I had to go through the legal process, and the American authorities allow me to be a part of American society, which I feel I fulfilled my obligation toward America. I worked, I paid taxes, never took a grant from anybody. So I think I have, as an immigrant, I am American citizen for a long, long, long time. I vote in every election. That was not one election I didn't vote. And I think some people enrich us. I'm not talking about illegals who are coming in to United States and burden the our communities.
You know, Rich, I want to mention something which is very interesting. We're talking about immigration. You know, back in the 1880s, the companies that were expanding during the American Revolution here in the United States sent over to places like Poland and others to bring workers because they needed adult workers to be part of the Industrial Revolution in order to be a success. We simply didn't have enough American people, period, for the amount of new products that we were making in those big, well-known factories that came about. And as time went on, the immigrants that continued to come, they were also welcome because of the many skills that they had that Americans were not schooled in. And in fact, all through the communism issue in Poland, the immigrants continue to be welcome because of their educational background in Poland and their skills. Everyone graduates in Europe from a technical school. So those people were really needed. The point of the matter is we didn't do that in America. In fact, what we did is we downsized everything. We said, our people don't want to do that kind
of
work.
Trade schools.
Yeah, we downsized everything, mm-hmm. everything. In fact, some of the trade school people that I speak to, they say they could go 24 hours a day now. Mm-hmm. With people not only in high school level, but also older people who want to get into an industry they should have had opportunity to have access to while they were in high school. And so we're reinventing the wheel that should have never been discontinued. How about we turn for a minute to Larkin Conley? Dr. Conley, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful, Michael. How are you?
Good. Hope you're enjoying our guest, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
I am. I'm fine, Barbara. I thought your remark about visas to allow people to come over here and work and then send them back once the work goes away is kind of unfair. I really wouldn't support that, and I'll tell you why. You can't have your cake and eat it too. If you want to develop an H-1B visa, mm-hmm. that allows people that are smarter than our current population to come over here and cover our butts because we refuse to wash dishes, I don't think that's fair. If you can find somebody that's willing to come to this country and wash dishes, my son works in the restaurant business in New York, mm-hmm. he said, Dad, there's not a single Anglo-Saxon American, naturalized American who would wash a dish. They would never think of it. And I said, well, what if they knew that they were getting started in an industry that held a future for them? Nah, they're not going to do it. They're just, they're, you know, they wouldn't, they, they won't stoop to that level. Well, if we find somebody that's willing to come to this country and to perform those services, as is the case in New York City, mm-hmm. which would be primarily Latinos, I think they instantaneously should be put on a path to citizenship. Those are the kind of people that we want to come to our country because they bring something. In this case, it's the desire to do a job. And I'll tell you about Latinos.
But then
when
I
allow them to...
If you allow me for interruption for a second,
sure.
That's what I call legal immigration. If you bring them to the path of a United States a citizen, that's a different story. I'm talking about the one who are never legalized. I'm talking about the, you know, farm workers.
A lot of farm workers are only here for 6 months, and
that's
what
I'm saying.
They have to go.
That's
back.
What I call, you know, a kind of legalization.
Larkin, the thing that is very strange to me, is now that we've been getting a lot of companies to come back to America, it's disappointing for people to tell me that we have to bring people from China and India. To train people how to use the machines, which means our people never had any training on these new technologies here in the USA. So they bring these people over. Yep. When they come over, they stay forever, which is, you know, as long
this
as they're doing the job. And they're going
illegal.
To be teaching forever. And if they come on the visa, we
After
want people
visa.
To come that they're known to come for a specific reason. They're coming here not to run over the back door, but to come over here to add to the mosaic of America. Those kind of people, we want them and we need them. Quite frankly, we need them. If our economy continued to grow during the next 2 years as it did in the last 3 or 4 years, we would be in the same situation we were in during the American Revolution, when we wouldn't have enough Americans to fill the jobs, the technology jobs, especially. Right now, the technology jobs are still being shipped to China, India, and other places.
Michael, with the technology, I would be very careful with Chinese.
Yeah, well, they...
That's my point.
Well, as I said to on a radio program, I shouldn't have said that, but I did. I said to somebody that asked me, well, they said, well, Michael, why are you concerned about looking for items made in America, clothing? They said, I always look for American made. I said, okay, go right now and check all the items on your back. If there's nothing American made... Take everything off and come back.
Mm-hmm.
They said, I went, I looked, I'd be naked. This is the problem.
This is the problem.
How about we turn for a moment to Mark Andel. Mark, how are you
doing? How you doing, Mike? Good. How are you, Mike? And welcome to our guest, Barb. Great to hear from you.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, great conversation, you know, with the China and the skilled trades. You know, Barb, I've got the Made in America store, so we're up to almost 10,000 products and support 500 privately owned American businesses. And, you know, right now with the pandemic, you know, the dependency on China and foreign goods has been known, and it took a pandemic, unfortunately. I started 10 years ago with the project. But, you know, Made in America is
so
very
So you
strong,
are one of the pioneers of the Made America.
And, Basha, he's
Made
tough.
In America.
100% has to be certified that it's totally made in America, which is not
that.
Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, lately I've had some great people on my other show, and you know, just talking to these this with the Made in America movement, and you know, people starting to, you know, the demand's going up where they're doing their homework and they want to buy Made in America, and it's nice to see. I had a guy that owns Mark Gracie owns Bully Tools, was in Pittsburgh, lives in Pittsburgh still, but went to Ohio right across the border and built a. He's building his third plant, and they build shovels and tools and hand tools 100%. And he's like me, truly believes, loves the country. But skilled trades, like you're talking, Barbara, is something I've been, you know, working on. Larkin in the show, and me and Mike, we talk about it a lot because I own General Welding and Fabricating, too, a steel fabrication company with a motto: "You dream it, we build it."
Mm-hmm.
You can't grow unless you find workers. And I always, I sit
Absolutely.
On some boards of schools. you know, they had metal shops, wood shops in the schools, and at eighth grade they get an idea how to use a hammer, a saw, a tool, a lathe. But now the schools kind of, they push that away. They don't want that, you know, the parents were always the problem. They don't want their kids to get dirty or their hands dirty. But this shortage stops the growth of the economy, and I think we had one of the greatest growing economies right before COVID hit, the pandemic. But the problem with growing the economy was finding these workers, and it's still a major, major problem. We still cannot find workers, let alone skilled workers, especially in the trade. So I'm absolutely with you on that, and that's something we've got to work on as a country. Absolutely. And as a whole, and give kids a purpose. Kids want a purpose, you know. Building things is cool. Working with your hands is neat, and it's rewarding. And, you know, we've talked about that a lot on the show. But, you know, lately we're seeing the demand for Made in America products, and our store is very busy. We're up in New York, and our governor's a little crazy with shutting down things, and here we go again. So we're shutting down a mall store, yeah. You know, possibly today we find out. But it's hard to grow, but we've got essential products. But MadeInAmerica.com is doing well, and Made in America stores. But our vendors are really, you know, supporting us well, and the biggest problem is getting products now, and then the supply chain is breaking down with aluminum and plastics. So we've got a lot of challenge, but you're definitely point on. In China, you know, I read a book called China Inc. years ago. One of my top customers gave me and made me read it, but Shanghai was building up, you know, they had high rises, 5,000 a year at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, incredible growth.
Yeah. And you know,
great,
Mark,
to have you on the show.
But Mark, you've been a real pioneer to all this. You've taken, I mean, a lot of guff over the years. You know, the people were talking so much about the selection, and a gentleman called me up on Monday for his radio program, and he only gives me around 5-6 minutes. And he said to me, well, what would you do to unite the country, Michael Blihash? And I said, well, I would like the 70+ million people that voted for Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
and the 70+ million people that voted for Joe Biden to unite behind
Absolutely.
The American-made campaign. And he said,
yeah.
He gave me half an hour, the whole conversation, and every caller that called in loved the idea. How do we get the American people back on the same sheet of music?
But it's up to Khan's people who are buying that stuff.
Well, that's right. That's what we've been doing, is telling people to look at the labels. You know, somebody sent me, and I don't want to sound vicious when I say this, but somebody who's a real unbelievable supporter sent me a thank you card for doing a little favor. I looked on the back of it, and it said Made in China. I got so furious, it went in half. I took another envelope, and I sent it back. And I, with no explanation, typical Blihash craziness, I sent it back. They called me and said, why did you send it back? I said, look where it's made.
Yes.
You're walking around talking about Made in America, then you send me a card made in China? You know I was going to, what reaction was going to be.
Yeah, you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. This is a major thing. I always said Made in America can change this country. It's everything that the country needs. And a couple people, Mike, lately they've been thanking me in our stores. Been awesome. Couples are coming. They're finally actually taking a look around. When you got 9,000 products, you can do a lot of your shopping. It's a discipline they have to follow and do their part. It's up to the American people now. I think Donald Trump, there was a wrecking ball, and there's a lot of corruption, but the American people got to do their part, and one part is buying Made in America products, getting these companies back up, getting the supply chains built. Now's the time, and we're seeing it happen, but people have to stick to that discipline of asking for Made in America products, because they got all the power. That consumer has all the power you need.
Now,
for example, I give you an example of what it means, American made. I went to the store and I was looking for fish, frozen fish, and I would refuse to buy anything from China and from other, you know, region of that region of the world. And then the manager came to me and he asked me, why you are, you know, so picky? It's so many fish here, and you know, and this and that. I said, you show me wild catch, American product. Oh, we don't have it. I said, I'm not going to buy the fish. I'm not going to buy. I refuse to buy it. I'm sorry. We have to inform the manager of the store, the company, that we demand that. And it's going to be on a market, Mark.
And we do have catch that could be put.
Oh, sure.
American tuna in our store that's pole caught, and we're buying it by the pallets, but it's a little more money, but it is pole caught because a fish is a filter, and it's got all the poisons, and you know the quality of fish is, you know, Barbie, right on the right track. But you know, you've got to speak up, but that's what needs to happen. We need to get more and more people just to speak up, and they can do it nicely.
The consumer has to be aware of what's going on in the world. But many consumers just take the other path, the easier path, grab whatever is on a shelf in a store.
That's right. And, you know, I want
to... And that's the problem. You know, we have to re-educate the consumer.
Right.
But we have to...
It's a cultural change.
Yes.
You know, even during the election, and, you know, I have to tell you this, on Saturday morning, I got a piece of mail urging me to go out and vote.
Oh.
It was one of those pieces of mail that probably got lost in the mail. And on Saturday, I looked, I said, oh, the election's over a long time already. But, you know, it was slow. It was, you know, one of those bulk mailings. But the thing is, the American people have to take more personal responsibility for their purchases. And the thing that I didn't like about the election, I'll be very honest about it, I thought there was a lot of mudslinging rather than educating people what they're going to do for the American people.
I agree 100%.
What are we going to do to get our jobs back? What are we going to do to get more infrastructure? What are we going to do to improve
the infrastructure?
They should do a special YouTube video of a visit to China 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and say, this is what happened all over this country. Drive down some of our streets with the potholes and everything.
We could be much better than China.
We should, absolutely.
That's my opinion. We could be much better. The invention was in the United States. The technology was here. That was for years. Nobody did anything about the theft of intellectual properties and the technology. And what they did, they took the American invention and work from there in China. That can be allowed.
And I have to mention this too.
Americans are very inventive people.
Very inventive. I have to tell you this too, which is very interesting. And I mentioned this some years ago on the broadcast. I went to a seminar and here at then the Holiday Inn at 4th and Arch Street, and there was a speaker, and he was trying to attract American businesses to China. And I'll tell you one thing, he was a wonderful speaker, and the people who were with him were mainly Chinese, you know, giving you the idea, why should you do all that work here in America and pay all those taxes and pay toward employee taxes and salaries and benefits when we can make it and deliver it right to your shipping dock here in the USA, and all you are is a distributor, the brand name doesn't change, everything looks the same. And that's where we went wrong. America's consumers didn't speak up as they watched their family, friends, and neighbors be unemployed.
Yes,
that and have to go on to some kind of public assistance. They didn't speak up. But worse than that, it's the leaders in Washington, D.C. They did nothing. Zero is a high number with these people.
And I would then say to Congress and the Senate, I mean, how long you going to be in a Senate seat for? For example, Grassley got COVID right now. He's the oldest Senate. He's there for 34 years. In age 87, I'm sorry, I'm not a spring chicken whatsoever. But I know how the body works. We don't have the same memory. We don't have the same comprehension. So nobody's going to tell me that 87 or 88-year-old, it's, you know, doing, you know, what he's supposed to do. Maybe 30 years ago, yes. 25 years ago, but not now. I would, maybe it's silly, but I would simply...
Term limit. Barbara is a term limit person.
Oh, I am.
10 years and you are bye-bye.
Absolutely. You want to do good for this country? Stay there for two terms. No more.
And you know, it's the truth. And during this campaign, I was disappointed. There was so much mudslinging. If these two major candidates would have focused on ideas... This is what I propose to do if elected. And this is what we're going to restore in our schools. We want those programs back. We want to be the top technology people of the world. But that was not discussed. It was pettiness, which I don't like. And when I give an opinion like that, I'm not downing any candidate. I'm just saying they wasted more time. Even the paraphernalia that was sent in the mail to me when I read it, and I did read it to see what's on their minds. There was nothing in there that said, wow, this is the best person to vote for. It's don't vote for this one because they're no good and they've had 30 years or 50 years or whatever. And it was too many words with no ideas behind them.
I agree.
Rich, what do you have to say about today's conversation?
Well, because I'm the show's and panel's resident crazy man, Basha, I'm gonna give a crazy man comment to all of it, which, I guess, related but unrelated. I have said on this show for years, actually, Michael. Maybe I say it a little more. Maybe I articulate the concept a little better now. But there have been years and years, Basha, I've said on this show that if you look at what, for example, China did over the last many years, what China really focused on was outnumbering everybody. They didn't focus on innovation,
no,
democracy.
Absolutely. No.
See, in America, in the United States, the people who romanticize democracy is actually not the Democratic Party. It's actually the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. What the Democratic Party romanticizes is outnumbering everybody else. And I can prove it to you just in a recent example. A New York Times columnist wrote an op-ed begging people around the country, Larkin, to move to the state of Georgia so they could vote for the two Democrats in the Senate races coming up in January. Larkin, you're aware of that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
Now, Larkin, here's a question. Mm-hmm. Name me a Republican politician, pundit. Name me a Republican who's ever said, hey, move to Florida to make it a more red state. Name me one. In the last 30 years, name one. Just give me one example.
Well, there aren't any examples, and it's exactly why the Democrats have never learned how to use the Electoral College. They're just a terribly, terribly confused political party who's dead set on changing it to a popular vote so that five American cities will elect our next president, and the rest of the country be damned. So, no, you're spot on. You've nailed it.
Thank you, Larkin, for saying that. And I asked you if you could name one, not as a trick question or a gotcha, but because I've not been able to find a singular example where anyone says, hey, go move to Texas, make it a more red state. And that's because it's the Republican Party, Basha, who romanticizes democracy. And if you ask 100 people in Philadelphia, go ask 100 people. Do an experiment, Bashi. When you're out and about, ask, hey, what does democracy mean? And you'll hear answers like, well, it means everybody votes and everybody has a say. And I always say what democracy means is basically what John Adams wrote in 1814, which is that in history, every democracy murdered itself and committed suicide. And those are the actual words he used. So the American moment, right, whatever happens in the presidential election, irrespective of what happens in that election, our side, I'm going to use a broad term, kind of a broad term here, what our side has to understand is that I'm kind of directing my comment at what you said a few minutes ago about trying to get on board with Made in America. I hope that happens. I'm not doubting that there are some Democrat voters who want that. In fact, we have listeners who are Democrats who are Made in America. You know, Mike Sessions has done an incredible job doing that. But I'm skeptical, Michael, and maybe I'll be proven wrong on this, Larkin, but I'm skeptical that anything matters more. Let me be careful in my wording so I'm specific, Larkin. I don't think anything, Michael, matters more to Democrat voters than just outnumbering everybody else.
I would like to see both Democrats and Republicans take a breath right now and say, from this day forward, we look out for our own first. That's the most important thing. Come to this reality where we can put people to work making the things that we use and wear. We've been talking for 20 years now. We'd like to get back to a 50-50 balance of all products available in America. That's going to take more than another 20 years if we don't unite. As I said earlier, I'd like to see all of Donald Trump's 70 million people and all of Mr. Biden's 70 million people unite. No, they can be Democrats and Republicans, but unite for the cause of America.
Absolutely.
Bringing America back to the table of making things, doing things together. That no one has talked about that during the election. When people called me, pollers and all called me, I said, well, can you tell me what they are going to do for American workers? Well, that is not something, an issue, you know, we're trying to do. Do you feel this person's done a good job? I say, well, did they do good for Americans? I drove the person crazy when they called. In fact, one even slammed the phone on me because she's too many questions. It took too long. She must have had a minute or two only for each victim.
I want to ask you, Michael, and everyone, and this is a discussion me and Larkin have had before. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say that both DNR, that there's not a segment of DNR voters who don't just blindly vote R down ballot and they vote D down ballot, Larkin, right? We know this, and Larkin knows better than anybody, having been in the business for as long. So we know that. We know that. But how many Biden voters do we actually really think, Michael, were driven by anything other than get the guy out of office and outnumber everyone? Larkin, how much policy is in the statement, vote blue no matter who? Tell me.
I never heard of it.
This is not a gotcha question. I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot or ask a gotcha question and embarrass anybody. All I'm saying, Michael, is that the only mindset that is romanticized by the Dems, they move in a singular direction to outnumber everyone, just like the Chinese have moved in a singular direction, Michael, since the great leap forward in the Cultural Revolution of Mao Zedong. That here's what it's all really about. It's not about innovation and being a world global. You don't really believe that bull. Does anyone actually really believe that? They moved
they
for half a
be
century,
Larkin,
to move in a singular direction to outnumber everybody else in the world. Period.
No, they want to be the power of the world. Guys, whatever, I don't agree. They want to be the power of the world. They want to dictate their terms.
Yeah, I agree.
That's where they're going.
Basha, you know something? Today is the first time in 8 years ever that I've cursed on this show, and I said it twice, and I'm a bilingual cursor, and if you get a fine, Michael, you could send me the bill. I'll pay it because you know what? That's what I wanted to say. That's fine. Send me that bill, because anyone who actually thinks that the other side is driven by anything other than outnumbering themselves is simply listening too much to William F. Buckley in the National Review.
You know, Rich, I agree. And I would like to see the Democrats and the Republicans ask a singular question, which we have been asking for 20 years. Guys, right now, there are too many foreign-made products sold in America and too few American-made products sold in a country where majority of the customers are good customers. They have the money to buy, but what they're going out to buy is not made in the country that they live. And not Absolutely. Employing their brothers, their sisters, or their neighbors. No politician has said that. When I bring it up, in fact, I'm going to be speaking to a politician this afternoon. I will bring this up again. They do not want to talk to me because I am speaking common sense. If there were no American-made items on the shelf for the item that I'm looking for, whose fault is that? It's not my fault.
No.
It's the national leaders.
Absolutely.
And it's the national business people who drove everything out of this country. And here we are with zeros. We see people.
It has to be a national agenda, period.
Right.
You know, we got to increase that middle class has to come back. You know, better, buying made in America, building made in America, increases the jobs, the wages, the livelihoods, gives more people disposable income. And that's what we need. And that's what has to be pushed as a united, one country, one goal, you know, support the country you live in, period.
You know, Mark,
fair trade, Mike, but yeah, we have to support our country first.
The fact that many big businesses,
always,
and especially the companies that import foreign-made products to this country, don't like independent voices like that, I'm really pleased to hear that, because they don't want to hear common sense.
But, you know, the national leaders did this because they permitted.
Look at the trade deals, Barbara.
Every trade deal
screwed the American people.
Absolutely. The national leaders permitted this. Not we, the people.
Right.
And nobody
cared. We don't
vote.
If they put this on a national agenda, like a national election day, to say we agreed with this World Trade Organization or this proposal or agreement, then we would be the people to blame because we voted for it. But they, 535 people in Washington,
Absolutely.
Screwed us many, many times
and
over.
For years.
And it's time for us to speak up. See, American people were too quiet for too many years.
I agree.
I read a major
100%.
It was a correspondence from a large bank in our area in New York, and they're really... They played out how this pandemic's affected business and whatnot, and they're really bothered that globalization is hurt and hit, and people are starting to realize self-sufficiency or dependency on China, especially on the health products, is taking a hit, and people are
thinking that was the biggest mistake.
But you know, in this banks, they're mad and upset about it. We're here; it's a godsend for me and what we stand for. But they're worried about their portfolios, their money, their investments. We're worried about our country and our children's future.
That's right.
That's exactly. That was the biggest mistake. They for years allowed to the China to steal our technology, our innovation.
Yep.
And they work on it later on. And that was, whose fault was it? Mine? Yours? I don't think so. That was the national leaders.
Government deals.
Somebody, you know, and I have to declare my political, I am independent since I came. I always voted for a person, never for party. And never belonged to any party. I am independent, totally. But we have to blame not us, and it's time that they would get in a Washington some sense of what that means for average person, for middle America, who work for their whole life and pay the taxes, and at the end of the days, they don't have nothing.
That's right.
Because they are depend on Social Security or whatever. They don't have, or if they had some savings, they had to pay the insurance. I mean, it can be. They have to look at the people who are here, not the interest of big corporation.
Right. You know, from what I see, if anything, President Trump is going to always be remembered as the president that cut regulations on businesses that allowed more businesses to remain here in the United States of America. And he'll also be remembered for cutting taxes on business so they have no reason not to leave, not to want to stay in America and want to come back to America. That's what I hope that all future presidents will continue. Bring the businesses back. Give them no excuse to want to leave this great country. Get every one of our working age and able-bodied people back to a job for what they are qualified to do, and get those schools operational again, because people like Mark need jobs filled, and people in many industries tell me they said they could interview 50 people and find one real qualified person. How did that happen in America? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's getting near that time. I just want to give an opportunity for each of our panel members to say something to Barbara. We'll start off with Larkin. How did you enjoy today's conversation?
It was very good, very productive. And I think immigration and the proper handling of the people who want to come to this country and participate is very important. And I thank you, Barbara. It was a great visit. Thank you.
It was pleasure, my pleasure.
And, of course, we have to ask Mark Andel. How was our visitor today?
Yeah, Barbara, excellent. We're from the same fabric. I'd like you to run for office.
someday, but just two terms.
Barbaras.
Two terms, that's
it. We
need
more Barbaras.
Two terms, that's it. Of the end of the story. They are too long.
And now I'm going to turn to Rich Logis. Rich, what do you have to say?
Barbara, my apologies for a little bit of the coarse language, but if I've learned anything native Polish ladies from the motherland, you ladies are tough, so I know you can handle it. You're tough ladies.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment.
Ladies and gentlemen, it was a pleasure to have Barbara Ilnitska with us today. As I said, she is the daily Polish language host of the Polish-American radio program broadcasting in the tri-state area, a well-known voice to our airwaves. Thank you, Basha. As
it
always, it's
pleasure.
A pleasure.
Thank
29
you.
Years, as we got to make it another 29 years.
Okay,
we don't want to be
29.
Like Grassley, but we'll do what we can to be the
Watch
best
out
together.
For it. There is a Feinstein and others.
Oh, yeah. Don't start Barbara and some of these people. She would have them escorted out with no mercy whatsoever.
No.
Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11 for our pre-Thanksgiving broadcast, I want to wish you and yours the very best. And, of course, you can hear rebroadcasts of today's show simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Have a great one. Do widzenia.
Have a great week, guys.